Well, while I was preparing, I had trouble to see where I go. A lot of events, a lot of things happening in this. How can I do this? You see, and what is the message here? Well, if you see, it's chapter 22 of 1 Kings, we have a reading up all the way up to the 28, yeah. So I won't go through all the verses, but I just break it down into things, especially the characters that are there. You have Ahab here, you have Jehoshaphat, you have Micaiah, and then also you have the people, and you have Zadok. So these are men, they were just like in the history of God and this. And so each one of us can see himself in these characters. And so sometimes you want to have heroes. If I ask you, who is your hero in this text? Of course, we won't choose Ahab. See, Ahab is so radical in his rejection of God. And no one who is under the wing of the mighty God would want to do that. He was so foolish. He was just so openly doing that. So even I won't even talk about him. But see, he is here, the man. He was just sitting in his palace, and then thinking all his evil things. If I read, for 3 years there was no war between Aram and Israel. So for 3 years he was just doing his other things, but he has not given up on his ambitions to expand his kingdom and to have more money and to have more territories. But here is the thing. But in the 3rd year, Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, went down to see the king of Israel. So the visit of Jehoshaphat really triggered a lot of things here. Triggered really this man's ambitions to go into war so that he can have more territories. And just look, who is visiting a man of God? Jehoshaphat. But his visit triggers something really evil here that would rain up in judgment. God will judge this man. And Jehoshaphat really triggered this. This is what I see. For 3 years, this man was living in peace, and no one really triggered that ambition that was in his heart. Only this man. So was his move was from God or not? And I think there is a lesson for us in this, you see. So our visit to someone can be a blessing for them, also can be a discouragement to them, or can encourage them to go into bad things, you see. How many bad prophecies that are given and that are not of God and distort people's lives, even advices. So, well, look, I don't think that was really wise from Jehoshaphat. And Jehoshaphat himself, so we say, Ahab is bold in his defiance of God, but Jehoshaphat is a believer who also weak in many ways. You see, he got himself into alliance with this man through marriage. He gave his daughter to this man. So even though a man who fears God, still it was not enough for him. He needed human alliance to encourage him in his work with God. There is great warning in this. You see, that we, Christ, should be our sufficiency. And so, working with God, we will lack nothing, not protection, nor provision. Jehoshaphat, he just did this. Because he was not secure in himself. His faith was not enough for him to depend on God solely. And now here he got himself into alliance and also into further, really, destruction. If it was not for God's mercy. You see, I would say, like, he's a New Testament believer. You see, how many New Testament believers today, they think they can just go with God and also hold to mammon and also the things of this world. And yet God in his mercy also, he's just so gentle with them. And so we can say, even with us, at times we just step over lines in many ways. And yet God in his mercy, he would just bring us back. How much more if we learn the lesson and say no, 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 and pray for more discernment to say no, no for any action that would really tarnish the relationship that we have with our God, to fully trust Him and to defend and to depend on Him solely, because He's sufficient, He cares. If you see, even I love that previous chapter 20, when they were going to war, Ahab himself, even this man, when he went to war, and he went with a small number of armies, isn't it? And yet, when they said that the Israelites camped opposite them like two small flocks of goats, while the Arameans covered the countryside. I kept referring to this. So that was not enough for Ahab, or even like for Jehoshaphat. He should know this more than Ahab, isn't it? But he didn't. So now he got there, and then the king of Israel had said to his officials, "Don't you know that Ramoth Gilead belonged to us, and yet we are doing nothing to retake it from the king of Aram?" Now he saw the opportunity. This man is visiting him. Now he wants to go on and fight. So he asked Jehoshaphat, "Will you go with me to fight against Ramoth Gilead?" He's so weak, he will just give in to this persuasion. So now Jehoshaphat replied to the king of Israel, "I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses are your horses." This is a complete alliance with a man who is defying God from this man of God. You see, that is not right. That is not right. We are to be careful to throw our hearts completely, really. We are to be gentle with people, but we are not to get into business alliance with the ungodly, unchristians. You see, it's just so dangerous. You see, so it's just dangerous. I'll give you one example. 3 days ago, the daughter of the president of South Sudan, her name is Adut. Adut is married like to a man who had a wife. You see, a man who, and then his father saw us, his right hand, he brought him from nowhere. He gave him ranks in the army and also in the party. You see, and then the president is really not well enough. So this man, he came into the palace, into the presidential circle, and then he started to wage war against Nuer. He brought in Ugandan forces. He brought chemical weapons. He bombarded, and so certain regions are displaced. And so this bull male, this guy, is married to president's daughter. Now the president's daughter has been given a position that was given to her husband. You see? And now, and then when she spoke, she was just like her speech is just like a godly woman. And then she thanked God, and she thanked the other people. And so she was just like sounding so sweet and as a hope. You know, that is coming now to the presidential guard. And so, and then I was just like thinking, because some people are just optimistic. And I just started like to think, oh, maybe there is something good that is going to come out of that. And then the Holy Spirit said, no, it's deception. Nothing. And not to open my heart to the prospect or for this lady to do anything good. You see? And so we are to be discerning. So Jehoshaphat didn't see that, like really engaging with this man will bring disaster for himself if it was not for the mercy of God. We don't want to put the Lord into test. He has revealed this to us clearly, and so we are to obey. So, but Jehoshaphat also said to the king of Israel, so first seek the counsel of the Lord. That is good, but where is the will? Really, from the very beginning to say no. You see? No. But here his faith also is there. You see? So how many people who have like great language, they can express great things, you see? They can preach great messages, you see? And yet, when they act really in such a way that is not right. So may the Lord give us grace to be strong and courageous. That was what I was sharing with my Dinka South Sudanese people. I said to them, this love is costly. So for us to defend it, you need courage and patience. You see, this man certainly didn't get it. So the king of Israel brought together the prophets, about 400 men and ask them, shall I go to war against Ramoth Gilead or shall I refrain? We can't say for sure that these are prophets of Baals, because in the past we saw that some of the prophets were kept alive. But also they have come under really influence. If Jehoshaphat really could err, also these men can err. So they are under the pressure of the king and also disobedience, and they were not right with the Lord. Go, they answered, they prophesied wrongly, but Jehoshaphat is still saying, and I think that is the thing to save him, because while he was so weak, you see, also he was seeking a way out from this. And so altogether, and I think he represents us in many ways, that even though we may want to go our own ways, still there is a small voice saying, maybe we are doing the wrong thing. Maybe we are doing the wrong thing. But the decisive thing is from the Lord. The Lord has to come and act. And so we are to be really conscious of keeping ourselves in the Lord real deliberately, and praying and repenting of our sins and putting things right. So the king of Israel answered Jehoshaphat when he asked whether there are another one. And then there is still one man through whom we can inquire of the Lord. But I hate him because he never prophesies anything good about me. So he hates him because he never prophesied anything about him and not against God. So this man was not really, he was not prophesying anything good about him, this man. He might be good, saying good things about God, isn't it? But it doesn't matter. As long as he's not good, saying anything good about me, he is not good. You see, so you see the me here, the self, and even though he is a man who is over God's people. So he says only bad things. But always bad. He's talked bad about me. That is Micah. And you see, that is what he will get always. You see, so he will always get bad things from the Lord because he is bad. So why would God praise someone who is bad, who is rebelling? You see, no comfort for the wicked. You see, and no rescue. And so he will be judged. So here, I just want to point out a few things. So this, and Jehoshaphat, you see his godliness saying, oh, the king should not say that. You see, he replies. So the king of Israel called one of his officials against their will. So also this Ahab was diplomatic a little bit, trying to please his friend a little bit. Also, he's just like trying, he's playing politics here. You see, you say, oh, I will say somebody, it will come in a way. So dressed in their royal robes, the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting on their throne at the threshing floor by the entrance of the gate of Samaria, with all the prophets prophesying before them. So compare to verse 19, Micaiah continued. Therefore, Micaiah said, verse 17, then Micaiah answered, I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without shepherd. And verse 19, I think, let me go back to verse 19. Micaiah continued, therefore hear the word of the Lord. I saw the Lord sitting on his throne with all the host of heaven standing around him on his right and on his left. Compare this to these kings sitting on their own thrones, human thrones, with their really prophets pleasing them. And here the other picture, God on his throne with all the host of heaven is standing around him on his right and on his left. And the Lord is speaking from his throne of grace. There is no false in his throne, only truth only holiness. There is nothing that of flesh and before God. And here we see the comparison, the human kingdoms, how really bad or limited they are. They are provisional, and especially when the kings are good. But here we see these men, they are running their own parallel kingdoms, and yet this man, the God himself, Micaiah being part of this really gathering, he saw that was given to him because he was a man who was willing to obey the Lord. That was what he said. When he came, he said, he will say just only the right things. He will say only what he will hear from the Lord. He will not lie. And here he was given the truth from the throne of God, a true word to a true prophet to come and bring it. Of course, he judged Ahab, and we see the fact that because his prophecy is true, and so when Ahab was saying he will be sent to prison until I return, you see, and then he said, no, you are not returning, man, you see. So he was so confident because he entered into the throne of God. He saw the Lord God on his throne. You see, is this open before us? Before the throne of God above, I have really a perfect plea. We can enter, Hebrews tells us, we can enter into the throne of God, you see, boldly or with confidence, because Jesus Christ has opened it. If we are willing to obey and to delight in the Lord and really give ourselves to him in faith and in truthfulness, really God will come through. Even will give us as he gave. Even the prophet in Acts 13, isn't it? People who were praying, isn't it? They were New Testament believers. They were like us. You see, in the church at Antioch, there were prophets and teachers. Barnabas, Simeon, Col, Niger, Lucius of Cyrene, Manan, who had been brought up with Herod, the Tetrarchs. While they were worshipping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit, you remember the third person of the Trinity, the Holy Spirit said, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. Was that true? Was that a true prophecy? Was it true? Did Paul and Barnabas succeeded in what they were set apart for? They took it to heart because it was from God, truly. And God proves by anointing them and empowering them to preach the gospel. Micaiah was so confident in what he heard and what he saw, and he was not fearful to tell the prophet that the king that he will not return. And he was prepared to take a slap in his face, you see, and to go to prison, you see, and to be rejected, and yet vindicated, because the word that he has prophesied was truly from God. Micah, son of Yemla. I used to call him Micah or Micha, son of Yemla in my Arabic Bible. Was one of my heroes when I started to read the word of God 35 years ago. Well, what a joy to see the fruits of faithfulness, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. The fruits of obedience. So this is what the Lord wants us. So we have example before us, bad examples. So Ahab, really, with a woman who is wild, so rebellious, so worshipping idols, bringing all the demons and evil spirits into the house, and really clouding the heart of this mind, this man, and so he's like trying to lead God's people while he is soaked in demons and also in worldliness, expanding businesses and also territories. And when he has this man of God, Yemla, Micha, son of Yemla, then we don't know whether he has a house. You see, and then also he was slapped by another prophet who was like interested in the things of this world. You see, maybe he was getting things from the king. You see, being fed, beware not to receive from anyone anything, lest you will be like this man Zadok, the guy who said, like, oh, he was an older prophet, maybe Yimla was younger, Mecha, but look, the Lord is so gracious. So obedience, and then we learn from the character of these people. And one thing I just want to finish with is the fact that I saw all Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a sheep. Heard, and the Lord said, these people have no master. Let each one go home in peace. God was acting for his own people, because the people he has raised up to be good shepherd, so they failed to do that. Jehoshaphat, Ahab, all of them, even false prophets, only Micah, son of Yimla, was able to have access to the throne of God, to see God's heart for his own people. You see, it's not all about leaders. It's always about the people of God. God is just so fascinated about his own people. And the leaders, they are just called to take their slaps and then the imprisonment, and even Apostle Paul to be beheaded, and all the apostles and the Christian through history going through persecution, burning churches down, killing them with children, elderly people. You know, when things happen like elderly people, then children, that the people that suffer the most. They can't run away. They can't do anything. Their movement. So, God, I saw Israel scattered on the hills like sheep without a shepherd. And the Lord said, these people have no master. But we have a master, Jesus Christ, our Lord, the good shepherd. He's master. You call me master, and so I am master. You see, he exercises authority over us, and he will stop any harm that will come against us. Let us finish there. And we see, so it's fascinating histories. We see rebellions. We see defying God. And if we want to have examples in our lives today, what are our actions? I shouldn't finish without really giving real examples in life and in our life. I wouldn't want to say in real life. So it was real life too. But in our modern times, I want to say, what are the things that the Holy Spirit may point to you that is a clear defiance? Maybe you are like Ahab in some ways, or Jehoshaphat, or even the prophets, or are you Micah, son of Yimla? And you know that you don't have to do it on your own. You see, even Paul and Barnabas and his friends, they were not doing it on his own. The Holy Spirit was with them, raising them up. So when we talk about pleasing God and walking with him, it's not a human effort to do. The Lord God himself, he desires that. He wants to empower us. It's not God who tricks his own people. You see, he can't trick us. You see, and he is truthful. What he promised, he provides for that. See, all that we need to do is to be willing. Let us rise together and sing.